we'll be starting the class in a few minutes, 1 or 2 minutes. Good evening. I hope everyone is well and you're preparing for this weekend for what we call the High Holidays, which starts with Rosh Hashanah. Please join me with the Anna Bekoa. Anna Bekoa Gedula Jemimha Ta. A sequence of Hebrew letters that has a gematria of 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, love for no reason, unconditional love. Kabel Hinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. Two Hebrew words of three letters each cross Satan, which means tear up Satan, tear up the negativity. The same letters can be rearranged into two Hebrew words that Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates, and it reminds us to put policemen and judges on our gates, the gates into our consciousness, the gates into our soul, the gates known as eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. Na gibor dor sheyavudcha kivavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Two three-letter Hebrew sequences. Nun gimel dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, sustenance. Sustenance is anything that we lack. The fulfillment is called sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that allows us to take back the energy that we've given to the negativity through our mistakes. Bachem Tacharem Rachame Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem. Bet Tet Nun Sadi Taf Gimel. Hasin Kadosh Bero Tucha Nael Adatach. Chet Kufet Tet Nunayan. Yachid Gehe Lamcha Pene Zo Kedushata. Yud Gimel Lamed Hey Zion Kuf. A sequence of six letters that helps us speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah through this, the six the letters of the month, the Resh and the Yud. The Resh that created the planet Kohav, which is Mercury. It's also the planet that consists of the two energies, light and vessel, in unity. The vessel represented by the 22 Hebrew letters, the light by the fulfillment of those letters, the light by the code 26, the gematria of the tetragrammaton, and the Yud that created the constellation Betulah, the Virgo, which represents purity. It's unlike the concept of a virgin. It's the representation of the energy of Virgo, of purity. Shavatenu kabel ushman tziyaka tenu yo. This is the sequence. These six letters represent the tool we have to manifest all that we dream, all that we desire. But we can only do that when we are doing it in the context of sharing. When we use the pronoun we instead of I, when we use the context of healing for other people, we also receive healing. When we use it in the context of someone else becoming pregnant, then we can become pregnant. When we use it in the context of meeting our soulmates, then this, when we think of that and wish this for other people, then we also merit meeting our soulmate. When we want to strengthen our relationship, our relationships, we can do that when we wish it for other people. And the last line, we say in a whisper, which we refer to as silently, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of sharing. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. I hope you all join that. If you wish to speak, you just need to press star 6, and that will allow you to be heard on the conference call. Does anybody have any questions before we continue and read from the Zohar? Okay.
Hi, Hanok. It's Hilda.
How are you, Hilda?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Do you have any questions before I continue?
No questions.
Okay. I'm going to read from the Zohar now. I'm reading from the section called Bereshit, A Prayer of the Poor. It's verse number 195. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei adeinu kunenei aleinu maasei adeinu kunenehu. Veleit man dekaem kamei tara titzlota viale itmar lo yaivoshu ki yadavru et oyavim rasha'ar deihi tara demalka begin titzlota ihi mitzvah veda shikinta vioraita Da Kadosh Baruch Hu, La Tzarich Hafsaka, Benayhu, V'Tzarich L'Salka, Torah U'Mitzvah Tirchimu, Udchilu. No one can stand before the gate of prayers and prevent any prayer from entering. Of such a one it is written, they shall not be put to shame, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. This is a verse from Psalms, chapter 127. This is the gate of the king, namely the gate of the chamber. Since the prayer is a precept and is the Shechina, namely the female principle of Zeranpin, and the Torah is the Holy One, blessed be He, namely Zeranpin, they must not be separated. The Torah and the precept should be elevated with love and awe. All the precepts, positive and negative, derive from the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, as this secret has been explained. The letters in my name, the Hebrew word is Shmi, together with the letters Yud-Kei, add up to 365 negative precepts. And my memorial, the Hebrew is Zichri, a better translation would be my memory. It's a verse from Shemot chapter 3, together with the letters Vav-He, add up to 248. This represents the positive precepts. So here in the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, there are 365 negative precepts and 248 positive precepts. Namely, the 365 from the letters Yud-Kei and 248 from the letters Vav-Kei. Hence, all 613 precepts extend from the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Spiritually, what this verse is telling us is when we do a precept in Hebrew is a mitzvah. When we do a mitzvah, when we do a good deed, when we do the suggestions that many people call commandments, but we know that when we do something that is coming from another person, someone else is forcing you, commanding you to do something, that you are choosing, by accepting the command, you are choosing to become an effect, not a cause. We are in this world to be a cause, to be a creator, to be a co-creator with Hashem. So we don't do precepts, we don't do mitzvahs because they're commands. We do them because we choose to do them. And by choosing to do them, their spiritual source is in the Creator, is in God, is in Hashem. And by connecting to them, spiritually we connect to that source, which is Hashem. This is the connection. This is what this verse is explaining to us. One of the precepts is to pray. Do we need a command to pray? We just need a lack, a recognition that what we lack can be fulfilled by ourselves through our consciousness. By ourselves, by asking the Creator. That fulfillment, by asking, causes the Creator to give us the fulfillment. The Creator only wants to give us goodness. You have a lack? Ask the Creator. By asking, you become the cause of that flow of fulfillment. This is what this verse is starting to explain. And it's explaining how the Yud-Kei, the upper worlds, which has a gematria of 15, along with the name Shemi, which has a gematria of 350, for a total of 365, represents the negative precepts. And the lower worlds, Vav-Kei, has a gematria of 11, along with the name Zichri, which has a root having to do with memory and remembering. And that the gematria of Zichri is 11 less than 248, which I believe is 237. When we add the 11 of the Vav-Kei to the 237, we get 248 positive precepts. And altogether, 613 precepts. 613 mitzvot, the plural of mitzvah. 613 good deeds. One of the good deeds is to study Torah. One of the good deeds is to pray. One of the good deeds is to give charity. One of the good deeds is to keep the Shabbat. One of the good deeds is to not murder. One of the good deeds is to not covet. All of the 10 Dibrot, the Esther Dibrot, are part of the 365 mitzvot. Every human being has 7 mitzvot that were given to Noah and the children of Noah. Those 7 mitzvot are part of the 613 mitzvot. Everybody has some responsibility in our world. The Jewish people, meaning the people who are searching to open the door to the spiritual world, who are looking to make a closer connection to God, to Hashem, to the spiritual sources, meaning the spiritual source ultimately. This is what this verse is saying. Before I start tonight's class, does anybody have any questions? America. The holidays starting with Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Your question's not clear, but let me kind of explain a little bit, because it's really what we were going to talk about tonight. But let me back up a second. We have given 4 classes, the beginning classes, in the series of classes. Those 4 classes have given you the basic tools that will start to help you to change. The suggestion that you listen to the Torah every Saturday morning. The suggestion that you connect to the Zohar and to the Hebrew letters, and understand that the Hebrew letters are energy tools. Hello? Understand that the Hebrew letters are energy tools that will allow you to change, help you change. That they were created, the Hebrew letters were created by God to transfer mental energy into our physical world. And they do so, as it says in the early part of the Torah. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Creation comes through speaking. Not just God speaking, but us speaking. When we use the Hebrew letters, they are the energy tools for creation. When we read them, when we scan them, if we don't read them, we are connecting to that energy of change, that energy of creation. We have taught or given you information about the Ana B'Koach, the 42-letter name, which is the name used in creation, the name of the first 42 letters in the Torah scroll itself. Yes, they're concealed. They're not clearly connected. But the first word, Bereshit, has 6 letters. And those 6 letters transform through various letter substitution techniques that Hashem has taught us and revealed to us through our sages. Those 6 letters we convert to Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadi, and so on. We've also revealed fulfilled the 72 names of God, which is what Moses used to split the Red Sea. Yes, the verse says God split the Red Sea, but ultimately it takes human action in our world to make change. That human action was Moses using the 72 names to affect the condition that did with when he created water. He made an agreement. There will come a time in the history of the world where you will be asked to go against your nature. Your nature is to remain unified, but you will have to go against your nature and split at the request of man. And that was Moses splitting the Red Sea. All of these four talks have given you these tools to utilize the tools. The next set of classes, or the next class in this series, will be about restriction. But we're taking a break to prepare for the holidays, because the holidays, part of these series of classes, is describing the calendar, the Jewish calendar, and how it relates to the energy that comes into the cosmos week by week, day by day. That energy is reflected and revealed, hinted at, in the Jewish calendar. Starting this Saturday and Sunday, the holiday of Rosh Hashanah comes into the world. Rosh Hashanah means Rosh Head Hashanah, the year. The head of the year starts Friday night because in the Jewish calendar, or in the Torah, it says Vayerev Vayiboker, and there was evening and there was morning one day. And it says that for each of the 7 days. We start our days in the evening. One of the things we learn from that it is that causes things to happen. There's first darkness, and then there is light. First there is lack. First there is a vessel to hold the light in the physical world. And that's what we learn from this. In the Torah it says, the first day of the seventh month will be a convocation, a holy convocation for you. What the sages explain from this verse and what we are taught about the next 22 days, starting Friday night and running for 22 days, one day for each of the letters of the alphabet. We have 23 days of holiday. Some of those days are called holiday. Some of those days are called Chol Hamoed, which translates literally as a set of time. What we're really describing is energy levels. There is an energy that is Shabbat. There is an energy that is Chol HaMoed, an intermediate day, an intermediate energy. There is an energy called a holiday, a Hagim. In sequence of energy intensity, we have a normal day as the lowest level. We have Chol HaMoed as something more intense, more energy intensive, but not as high as a holiday. We'd next have a level called holiday, which we will discuss in more detail in a minute. We then have a level of energy called Shabbat that is higher than a holiday. And ultimately, we have a day that is the highest day of energy, and that is called Yom Kippur, the 10th day of these 22 days. The 10th day represents the Yud, of the which is the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But as we have always heard the adage, less is more. When it comes to spirituality, less ego reveals more light. When it comes to spirituality, talking about something or doing something, the doing is more important. Less is more is the law in the spiritual world. In our physical world, less is more when it comes to physicality, materiality. More spirituality is true throughout the world, both the physical and the spiritual. Returning to the concept of the holiday, returning to the concept of the 22 days, we have Rosh Hashanah, which is the first and second day of the 22 days. But the Talmud tells us that it's really not 2 days, it's one day. One long day. It's a unique energy. On Rosh Hashanah, which is the creation of the world, God created the world on day one, and day one includes all of the other 6 days of creation. But we know that there are 10 sephirot, but in our physical world, we only have the operative 7 lower sephirot. Each of those has 10 sphirot within it. So there is a total of 70 nations. 7 lower sphirot, complete with 10 sphirot of their own. 7 times 10 is 70. But we start with 7 days of creation. We start with the 7 lower sphirot. But it takes 10 days. It takes 10 days for full creation. We have 7 days of the week. The upper 3 sphirot are in the Shabbat. They're there. We have 3 meals of Shabbat representing those upper sphirot. Rosh Hashanah is the day the world was created. The world was created for a year, 355 days. Or is it 365 days? The solar calendar is 365 days. The lunar calendar is 355 days. Every year, the relationship between the two changes by 10 days. The Jewish calendar, over a 19-year cycle, establishes a leap month or a leap year that keeps the two calendars in sequence so that the energy days, the holidays, come at the same time of the year. If one followed the lunar calendar only, the holiday that started in spring, approximately 6 years later, would be in winter. But, or in summer anyway. But the idea of the Jewish calendar is to keep the two calendars in balance. The third column, the central column, yes. The holidays in the month, the seventh month, which is known as Tishrei. In the Torah, we only are told the names of the months are numbers. There's the first month, the second month, the third month, the seventh month, the ninth month, eighth month, and the ninth month, and the 12th month are mentioned in the Torah. The other months are not even mentioned by number. But we know they're there. We have this from the sages. We have this from the explanations. And if there is an eighth month, there must be a seventh. If there's an 11th month, there must be a 10th, and so forth. But we don't know the month's names. We did receive that information from Abraham. We did receive that information from the source of, known as Babylonia. Abraham comes from Ur Kasdim, which is Babylonia. He brought with him the knowledge of astrology, the knowledge of how the sun, planets, and stars help us by channeling certain energies through the 30-day cycle of a month. Abraham gave us this knowledge in a book called the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation, a book that reportedly had 400 chapters. He wrote the book for the people of his generation as a book of outreach, a book explaining how to experience God through our actions of negativity. We have lost the majority of that information. It's concealed in the Torah. It's concealed in different ways, but in a simple, direct way, we only have 6 chapters of the Sefer Yetzirah that teach us in those 6 chapters how to experience Hashem. Use the Hebrew letters to experience Hashem. Returning to the holidays, the 22 days. The first 10 days, well, let me start even at the beginning. God created the world for a year. And at the end of that year, all of the energy that he had given to humanity, Adam and Eve, was used up. He takes a look at what humanity did with that energy. The evening just before sunset on Rosh Hashanah, just before the day of Rosh Hashanah starts in the evening, every human being dies because all of the energy for that year has been used. It's taken back. It's not taken back. It's just been like the concept of a cycle. You start over. The energy is used up. You die. And Hashem gives you the other, the new renewal energy for 22 days. And during those 22 days, he evaluates in a process I'm going to describe of the holidays, how much energy you should receive for this next year. The first 2 days is one long day. It has the energy of judgment. What did you do last year? Did you use your energy properly, or did you abuse it? It has the essence of what's called harsh judgment. And then it has the second day of called, referred to as soft judgment. Two of those tribes are represented. The tribe of Shimon, harsh judgment, and the tribe of Levi, soft judgment. Remember, it was the sons of Jacob, Shimon and Levi, who caused the destruction of the village or city of Shechem when Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, was raped. Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. Is judgment a bad thing, as most people think? I don't want to go to court. I don't want to be judged. But if you are righteous, if you have done good deeds, if you have done what you were supposed to do, you're going to get more energy than you got last year. So why wouldn't you want judgment? But most of us run away from judgment because we know the truth. We abuse that energy. So there are rituals on Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the shofar, prayers, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, the Dewey, confession, all of these rituals done on Rosh Hashanah within the context of the holiday, the energy level that has been increased and generated. We utilize this energy through the wisdom of the sages to experience judgment in a merciful way. That's the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, the one long day. But remember, this is a newborn. This is a renewal person. Hanoch is not there anymore. It's Hanoch Nu, a reborn, newly born, newly renewed person who is a baby, who must grow to maturity, who must experience a cycle of 22 days. The first 10 days of that cycle is called the days of awe, the days of yirah, the days of fear, and the days of awe. Those 10 days culminating in Yom Kippur is the process of childhood, the process of building your desire. What do I want to accomplish between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Those 10 days, I want to accomplish the building of my vessel of desire. What do I want to have happen during the year? What am I willing to sacrifice of myself to achieve that? Am I willing to sacrifice my bad character traits? Am I willing to sacrifice the ugly parts of me that I don't like in order to be given what I truly desire? In order for me to create and manifest what I truly want? These are the 10 days culminating on the 10th day of Tishrei in Yom Kippur, a day where we take a 25-hour fast, a day where we grow through the five meals, five large, spiritual meals while we're fasting physically, we're eating spiritually and growing to the point where we go into the level of Bina, the energy store, and restructure our DNA, our spiritual DNA for the year. We next move into the next 12 days, the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th of Tishrei, are Chol HaMoed, intermediate days. They're not as high as the holidays, but during those 4 days, we're building the sukkah. We're building that tent, that booth, that impermanent structure that we live in for 7 days, 8 days. That structure, that impermanent dwelling, where we learn again the lesson that everything comes from God, and that all of that materiality that we find so wonderful, the bed we sleep in, the house we live in, we remember and appreciate and receive the energy of mercy during those 8 days of living in the sukkah, dwelling in the sukkah. Some people just say a meal in the sukkah, 1 day out of the 8. Some day people literally live in the sukkah, study in the sukkah. It's all a function of how much energy you are willing to, what you want, what you're willing to do. The building of the sukkah takes place in the Chol HaMoed on the 11th to the 14th of Tishrei. On the 15th of Tishrei, the full moon of Tishrei, we receive the 7 days of chesed, of mercy. And the sukkah itself, the tent, the booth, the impermanent dwelling, is our antenna to draw that energy. And we do hakafot in the sukkah. We do circles in the sukkah, which is also part of the antenna and the mechanism to bring the energy of mercy into our lives. It's also the time that every day of the sukkot, of the living in the dwelling in the sukkah, we hear the Torah. We hear the Torah doing certain sacrifices. The first day of Sukkot, one of the sacrifices that we read in the Torah that we used to do in the temple when we merited to have the temple was we sacrifice 13 bulls. The bull represents an energy, a spiritual energy, that is related to the other nations. On the first day of Sukkot, we sacrifice 13 bulls. On the second day, we sacrifice 12 bulls, then 11 bulls, then 10, then 9, then 8, and on the seventh day, 7 bulls are sacrificed. Lo and behold, if you add 13 plus 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus 8 plus 7, you reach the number 70, the 70 nations of the world. The Jewish nation has the responsibility of drawing the energy of mercy into the world by living in the sukkah. The Jewish nation has the responsibility of bringing the energy of mercy to the world and sharing it with the 70 other nations. When the Jewish nation does its spiritual work during this week of mercy, of Sukkot, there is no anti-Semitism in the world that year. When the Jewish nation does its work, there is no anti-Semitism in this year. When the Jewish nation does its work incompletely, there are nations, there are people who do not receive the energy, the metaphysical, spiritual energy that they require. And they feel this lack. And when they feel this lack, they know at the level of their soul who is the cause of this lack. Ultimately, it's them. But ultimately, it's also the Jewish nation who did not do its spiritual work properly, completely. And that is part of the cause of anti-Semitism. We, and it's very important for the Jewish people to hear the Torah each and every day of Sukkot. It's very important for the Jewish nation to do the hakafot, to do the circles, while they wave the four species, all part of the technology of drawing mercy into the year. We have reached 10 days, Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. 4 days, preparing the Sukkah. 7 days. 11 plus 10 is 21. We have reached the 22nd day. The 22nd day is Shmini Atzeret, called the 8th day, as well as the holiday of Simchat Torah, dancing with the Torah. And all we do that day is run around in circles, dance around in circles. What does a circle represent? Completion, unending, manifestation. By dancing with the Torah, seven hakafot. It's not just one time that you dance with the Torah, but every person dances with the Torah. Some people have a minhag to do seven times each of the seven hakafot. And each person, the more you expend this day in energy of joy, of happiness, of simcha, having joy in the Torah, the more you balance the energy associated with the year. You have reached the level of maturity from birth, Rosh Hashanah, to Simchat Torah. The 22 days of cycle, the 22 days of completion, the 22 days of spirituality. Hashem has judged you, has written you into a book, whether it be for life or not, Chas v'Shalom. Hashem has decreed how much energy you will receive. Hashem has given you the mercy associated with Sukkot, and he has had you given you the tool to balance it in the circles of Simchat Torah, in the central column of Simchat Torah. You now have the period from these 22 days through the month of Cheshvan, where there are no holidays, through the month of Kislev, at the end of Kislev, where the holiday of Hanukkah manifests. period from Simchat Torah to Hanukkah. If, God forbid, someone is written in a way that their year is detrimental, their year is difficult, and they didn't do their work during the 22 days completely in a balanced way, the period from Simchat Torah to Hanukkah is a period where, with greater difficulty than if they had done so in the 22 days, they can change their DNA. That's part of the miracle of Hanukkah. It's part of the cycle of the Hebrew calendar. But the best is to do your work during the 22 days and not depend on God's mercy during the other calendar months. Receive your energy. Imagine what you want for the year. Manifest what you want, because as good and as dreamlike that you can create in your mind, Hashem wants to give you more goodness. It's up to you. You are in control of your destiny. What you did this past year in abusing the energy you were given is over. The concept of tshuva allows you to change that, as if it never happened. Part of God's mercy. God wants to give you that year ahead that is unlike any year you've ever received before. That year ahead that is so filled with goodness and fulfillment and joy and happiness. All you have to do is imagine it and do the rituals associated with the holidays and manifest the changes of your sacrifices, those parts of you that you don't like and want to get rid of anyway. All you have to do is your spiritual work. And while you're spending 22 days doing your spiritual work, Hashem is watching your business. Hashem is taking care of the rest of your life. Don't worry about 22 days of how am I going to handle all of this doing in 22 days. There's this an adage. You do your spiritual work, Hashem will take care of your physical work. Does that mean I have to excuse me. Does that mean I don't go to work for 22 days? No. You go to physical work and think about how you're going to change yourself. You go do your physical work and elevate the sparks that are there for you to elevate. You create the vessel in the 22 days for Hashem to give you the fulfillment. And then you go through the next 11 months manifesting, converting the potential energy that Hashem gives you in those 22 days into the physical energy, the revelation of His light in our world, which is what is the role of humanity. We are running out of time, but this is the essence of the 22 days of Tishrei that will change your life if you choose. Does anybody have any questions? America.
present Friday night is the harsh distance.
The first day, Friday night to Saturday sundown, is harsh judgment. But because it's on Shabbat, it's part of His mercy. The year ahead could be difficult. The year ahead is named Tesha, 9. There's 9 months of pregnancy. Is pregnancy fulfillment of a new child, or is pregnancy the beginning of a new life? From the frame of the mother, it's both. From the frame of the child, it's both. Harsh judgments or fulfillments. Aren't they the same thing?
Yeah.
Any other questions? I would like to point out to you that starting Friday night, the Anabakoach changes verses. The letters of the month are the Pei and the Lamed. I believe the verse is the third verse, but I could be wrong. It might be the... No, it's the third verse. The Pei is an unusual letter. Inside, concealed in the Pei, and the word Pei means mouth. Concealed in the Pei is a bet. The bet that represents a house, the bet that represents blessings. The month of Tishrei is the month of blessings. The Hagim are in Tishrei. But those blessings are concealed depending on how you use your mouth during the year, how you use your speech during the year. The Lamed is the only Hebrew letter that goes above the line, indicating to us that it is connecting to the level of Binah, the level of the energy store, our ability to connect to how we are going to make our year, is all done in these 22 days. The rest of the 11 months is just manifesting what spiritual work we do this month of Tishrei, which is our potential for the year. The 11 months is manifesting what our potential is for the year. We are out of time, and you are out of questions. I hope not, God forbid. We'll see you next Tuesday, where we will continue to dwell and expand on the idea of the 22 holidays and what they represent in how we are manifesting. There is a fast day on next Monday, not a full fast day, a fast day called the Fast of Gedalia on the 3rd of Tishrei, starting Sunday night and running, starting Monday morning until Monday evening. It's not a full fast day, but just the daylight hours. The event itself is rather unique. What do I care that some king of Israel got killed 2,500 years ago? But the sages have told us, remember King Gedaliah, the first Jewish king, killed, assassinated by Jewish people. Remember that hatred for no reason, which killed King Gedaliah, is the cause of so much chaos in our lives. Good night, and have a very Happy New Year.
Hanok.
Yes.
Okay, on Saturday, you said that there was a 6 o'clock in the morning service.
First off, you need to let me know by email Friday night if you want to come to Ibrahim's.
Okay.
Saturday morning, we're going to go to the Stiebelminion, which will be starting at 8:30. There will not be a meal Saturday afternoon. Then Sunday morning is at 6 a.m.
Oh, Sunday. Okay. Okay. Okay.
So I need to know what your plans are. And we'll talk after the class right now. Are there any other questions before we call the night complete or the class complete?
No questions for now.
L'shana tova tikatevu. May you all have a beautiful, fulfilled year of Tesha, year of nine, year of completion, year of potential that you manifest. Chag Sameach.